The New York Times suffered another very public embarrassment last week. The newspaper's two top editors resigned in the wake of the plagiarism scandal that has plagued the Times in recent weeks. The departures of executive editor Howell Raines and managing editor Gerald Boyd came after an unprecedented staff revolt and hints of unhappiness from the Times company board of directors. A new player in this journalistic scandal also helped ratchet up the pressure. Internet bloggers Laura Seidel explains.
It's never good when the newspaper becomes the news. In the second week of May, the New York Times published stories explaining how a young staff reporter, Jason Blair, had systematically fabricated information and plagiarized other newspapers. 2 weeks later, Pulitzer Prize winner Rick Bragg resigned after being suspended by the newspaper. He had written a deeply textured account of a southern oysterman without ever stepping foot on his boat. Bragg used the notes of an unpaid intern, a practice he said was common among reporters at the Times. That claim set off a firestorm among Times reporters, says Jim Romanesco, an online media columnist.
I got a stream of letters from New York Times reporters challenging him, saying that they couldn't stay quiet any longer, and vented their frustrations on my letters page.
Romanesco's constantly updated collection of media-related articles, letters, and memos hosted by the Poynter Institute is a relatively staid example of the new web phenomenon known as a weblog, or blog. Other blogs are more personal and opinionated, generally offering links to various online articles along with commentary and reader responses. Romanesco's popular site has become must-reading for a certain segment of American journalists. In the wake of the scandals at the Times, he received and posted internal Times emails and memos, along with dozens of stories about management problems at the paper. So did many other so-called bloggers. Mickey Kouse, a columnist for Slate.com and a blogger himself, thinks Raines' resignation within 5 weeks of the first scandal was a direct result of angry chatter on the web.
10 years ago, Howell Raines would still be running the place, and his staff would be just as unhappy, but it wouldn't make any difference. They would have no way of venting their displeasure, and there wouldn't be these hundreds of snipers outside lobbing hand grenades into the building.
Now that people have a virtual water cooler, those in power need to keep their eyes on the web, says Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Internet and American Life Project. Rainey says Raines isn't the first powerful person to be brought down by internet bloggers. He points to former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, whose controversial remarks only became a major story in traditional media after being circulated on the web.
And the same phenomenon happened with Trent Lott, once a number of bloggers began to go after him. There are all sorts of examples of companies being challenged and their practices being challenged. One of the first things that a bunch of employees do now, if they've been fired as a group, is set up a website to protest what's happened to them.
Earlier this week, several internet-only articles speculated on Raines' future and quickly drew the attention of bloggers. Slate's Mickey Kouse even posted a mocking graphic, the Howlometer, which purported to show Raines' chances of holding on to his job. It didn't last long. Raines left the Times the next day. But internet bloggers alone aren't likely to bring anyone down, says Kouse. It's a symbiotic relationship with traditional media. Often it begins with a well-publicized news story.
And that's the same thing that happened to Raines. The scandal of plagiarism gave the web commentators license to go to town. We've yet to have a case where bloggers acting on their own have brought somebody down.
Indeed, Times Company chairman Arthur Sulzberger Jr. said he started talks with Raines about his future before the bloggers hit fever pitch. Still, they created an atmosphere that made it impossible for the staid Times to keep their internal turmoil private. For NPR News, I'm Laura Seidel.